Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, and now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a very wet and rainy Thursday morning, February the 17th, 2022, 14 minutes past the hour, and away we go. Now, in the studio, I've got to tell you about a little change we made yesterday that is very, very helpful. And we're lucky to be in this position because of Pastor Craig. Pretty much the entire run of this station, nearly 8 years now, we have always had an atomic clock in the studio. Now, it's good to have an atomic clock in the studio because it keeps you on time. And being in radio is very important because we have the top of the hour stuff, station identification, so on and so forth. So you want to have as many clocks in the studio as possible that you can see from where you're sitting, that let you know and also let your guests know how much time you have left in a program. Now, as you know, over the entire run of this station, the atomic clock we have had has operated kind of strangely. The first studio we were in at the mall, the clock would work about 50-50. And that was always very odd because you could never figure out what was going on. And you would say, well, just set the clock and leave it alone. Well, the atomic clock doesn't work that way. When the atomic clock gets the signal, it's going to go to whatever date or time it's being told. Well, in the mall, I don't know what it was. Every so often, the atomic clock would get a signal, and it would completely set the time and the date wrong. It would be 2 or 3 hours off. It would be, usually the minutes and the seconds were right, but the hour would be wrong, the date would be wrong, the day of the week would be wrong, the year would be wrong. Now, sometimes it was on, but most of the time, it pretty much was not. Then we moved over to the Belltone building. And when we were in the mall, I thought, well, maybe it's just an old atomic clock and it's not working right. Well, when we moved to the Belltone building, which is no longer the Belltone building, on Center Street, more East Center Street than West Center Street, for some reason the atomic clock kicked in, and pretty much the entire time we were at the Belltone building, it was always right. It always got the signal. The clock always operated right. There was never any problem with the atomic clock. It was always dead on. The only problem would have been if the batteries would have went low. Well, then we moved downtown to the Ohio Health Building, West Center Street. And the clock, the entire time we were there, never worked. The entire time we were there, I don't think it ever got a signal. Now, I don't know if that was the walls downtown in that building. I don't know if it was because we were 3 floors up. I really don't know what happened. Because from East Center Street, where we were in the Belltone building, to West Center Street, where we were in the Ohio Health building, was probably about a mile and a half. But for some reason, it would always work in the Belltone building. It never worked one day that we were in the Ohio Health building. So you could set the clock there because it never got a signal. Now the date and the time and the day of the week, those were always off, but the time you could almost get exactly right. So last April, we moved over here to South Prospect Street, again moving about a mile, And right from the beginning, the atomic clock started to work again. But every day, for whatever reason, it would be different. It was kind of like being back in the mall. You would set the clock, or the atomic signal would come in, and everything was okay, but then 2 days later, the time would be completely off, the day of the week would be completely off, it would just be a mess. So, Pastor Craig, listening to what we were having go on at that time, went out and got us a new atomic clock, and it works perfectly. It's never been off. Well, once Pastor Craig got us this new atomic clock, the old atomic clock, about 3 months after being here, started to work perfectly. And to be honest with you, I can't remember a time now when the old atomic clock was not working properly. So, for about the last 6 or 8 months, we've had two atomic clocks sitting here on the table, and they both were exactly right. Now, that's a good thing, but they're both just sitting here on the table, and sometimes they would overlap each other. So yesterday, I finally got the bright idea, because in the studio, we do have an old-fashioned clock, you know, just a clock with hands on it, on the wall, but it's kind of to the left of the host. So nobody really ever looks at it, and it's an old clock, and there are Roman numerals representing the numbers, so it's kind of hard to see. So what I did was I took Pastor Craig's atomic clock, and I mounted it over the door. So now, from where I'm sitting, if I look at the table here, I can see the old atomic clock, and see that it's 19, close to 20 minutes past the hour. And if I look above the door now, I can see that it's 19, just now 20 minutes past the hour. And so we're all in good shape. Now, the only problem with this is that it is above the door. Now, it is mounted well, I believe, because we mounted it yesterday. So I have come and gone out this door. Glenn has come and gone out this door. Nate, Terry, the pastor last night, have all come and went out this door. So I don't believe this clock's going to fall down, because we don't want it to hit anybody in the head as they're coming in the door. But it's up there. It looks good. The numbers are big enough. I can see them perfectly from where I'm sitting. So it's nice to have the atomic clock up there. Now, that's my opening story this morning. I wanted to know, is there any flooding going on in town right now? I don't know when the rain started this morning. It certainly is going on right now. I guess 1 to 2 inches of rain today is the idea. Better than snow. But it's not so much the 1 to 2 inches of rain that I think is going to be a problem for us. It's going to be the fact that we still had a fair amount of snow on the ground that probably is pretty much all going to melt because of the 50 degree temperatures, as well as, it's 54 right now, a matter of fact, 50 degree temperatures, as well as all of this rain. So the water accumulation might be a lot more than 2 inches. Matter of fact, I was talking to Angie last night, Jeannie Evers, as I told you, had a birthday yesterday, and we went out to her house for a little gathering last night. Jeannie's daughter, Kathy, was there, and a few other people, and Angie and I went out there and had pizza, and it was a good time. But when I was out there with Angie, if I can speak, last night, she was telling me how her backyard has flooded, and she doesn't ever remember her backyard flooding. So, I don't know. It's been a long time since we had this amount of snow. So, a lot of places might flood that don't normally flood. I know in Marion County, we always pay attention to Prospect. For some reason, Prospect always floods. It just is a thing. Prospect is going to flood. And I learned this years ago when I was at WMRN. Cecil Ayler used to go down and measure the bridge, measure the water on the bridge every morning. Every morning, he would go down and measure the water, and we would get a call, usually between 6 and 8 o'clock at the radio station, of where the water level was in Prospect. And Cease was a very, very nice guy. He passed away probably about 8, 10 years ago. But just such a nice guy. And even in his senior days, and he had a heart condition, he would go down there and hang off that bridge. And it was so nice, and it was done while he was still alive. If you go over to Prospect and go over that bridge that always floods and so on and so forth, it's a very nice bridge now. When they redid the bridge, they named it the Cecil Ayler Bridge. And he was still alive when that got done. And he was so happy of that for the rest of his life that that was named for him. But he was the one who would go down there and hang off that bridge. And it was just something. Does anybody remember when that bridge was a mess? It was kind of a broke-down bridge when Cease used to go down there and hang off of it to get the water readings. But it's a pretty nice bridge now, but there is a plaque there that says Cecil Ayler Bridge. And every time I'm over there, which is not very often, to be honest with you, I shouldn't say this on the air, but I am not a huge fan of going to Prospect just because it's never on the way to anything. I've never really thought about stopping off in Prospect. I have the same feeling about LaRue as well. I'm never on the way to anything to where I need to stop off in LaRue. Now, Upper Sandusky, Bucyrus, you know, I can be on Route 23 or Route 4 or Interstate 30, and you can stop off in those places. Ontario, same type of thing. But Ashley's right on Route 23. But Prospect is so far off Route 23, and LaRue, I mean, you really just have to be going to LaRue to want to go down there, that I just never go there. It's just not one of those places. I think if you don't live there, you probably don't spend much time in either one of those places, and they do have flooding issues in those places, and it's just not the best situation in the world. But I will say the people who live in those communities really do love them. They love those small communities, and nothing wrong with that. Are there any reports from Marion this morning about flooding? Anything? Is anybody listening over in Prospect or LaRue this morning that have seen those floods that we always see in those areas? Let us know, 740-383-9944. And right here in Marion County, are any roads flooding? I know Fair Park used to flood quite a bit. I know that Columbia used to flood quite a bit. There are a lot of streets over here on the west end of town that tend to flood. I don't know which ones they are off the top of my head, but a lot of these tend to flood. Girard floods from time to time. Windsor has flooded from time to time. Just trying to think of those areas that flood. Or are you having any issues in your house right now? The Boulevard has flooded from time to time, although the Boulevard does not seem to be flooded this morning, which is a good sign. Any reports on the rain right now? 740-383-9944. Or any reports on how much rain has fallen so far? Because I'm not sure when this all started overnight. I have not checked that. Do want to let everybody know there is a free neighborhood supper, drive-through dinner. I heard Nate talking about this yesterday. Tuesday, February the 22nd, 4:30 to 6 p.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 135 West Main Street, over in Waldo. Waldo's another one of those places I'm never really in. Now, Waldo, well, I don't know. Waldo's easier to get to than Prospect or LaRue, in my opinion. Now, maybe I'm just nuts, but that's my opinion. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, sometimes I have to walk from one room to the other so I don't get a feedback. That's something I might miss. But I'll switch gears a little bit as far as the flooding goes. I've been through that for a long time. I might bring that up on another subject on the air sometime if you'd want me to. But most generally a tile's plugged up that if never been plugged up, and they're noticing maybe the water little differentiation in the area.
Yeah, it's very interesting how that happens. We always hear about it in Prospect and LaRue, and those poor people, they just have a mess when this happens.
Yeah, well, I wanted to switch gears just for a moment if I could.
Sure.
I heard you talk to Dr. Mark Davis there, and what a very enjoyable conversation that was. I listened, and I think that's what we get in the mission statement, listen instead of talk, but I like to talk, so I violate that, but I don't care. I'll take a lot of slack on that. But anyhow, you handled that in another perfect way of putting a feather in your cap. But quit putting a feather in your cap. I'm just going to start ringing a bell. You deserve every bit of it. And he, on return, was very, very good. What a good conversation it was. And both of you done an excellent job. And you know what? If you didn't have the D or the R, why, I'd vote for him. I better rephrase that statement. In other words, you'd vote for him without knowing what the DNR is. That's a common word they're using in the public system today, DNR. So things going fast. They don't want to say Democrat or Republican. But anyhow, Scott, I thought you'd done a good job, like I said several times there, and getting back to Dr. Mark Davis. I know him real well. I've been around him, and for the occasions being a doctor and seeing him, and he's really a good guy. He's a crack-up, boy, once you're around him, you know. But he told me once, I was sitting there, and he's checking me over for an annual check, and I got talking, and he said, zip it. So that's a sign you talk too much, to zip it. And I said, well, can't you work and listen to me at the same time? And he grinned. My wife was right in there, so she was a witness. I said, zip it, and she had to laugh, too. I had to put that kind of a thing in about the doctor. Like I say, I think he's a good man, and he's challenging himself. And, you know, you talk about old-timers, like... he isn't as old as our youngest son, or our oldest son, so he's got a lot of things, just like you, Scott. You're a young man, too, and the way you conduct yourself and stuff, you can go a long ways in radio. I don't know what your desire is, but you're doing a great job. And I heard the statement there from the mayor. What a wonderful statement that was. I listened to that, and I listened to him very closely. In the respect, I want to hear exactly what they say. And it was a nice thing that I mentioned a long time ago. Well, it wasn't too long ago. But they said about people running for office and stuff. And I said, well, that makes a difference with family, too. And he mentioned his family in there. If you have family, you have the backing of that family, you're going to go a lot farther because your mind is there with the family instead of the rejection from the family. Daggone it, I don't want you doing that. I want to do this and that. So I listened to the mission statement, so I thought that I'd just call in and knock up some airtime.
No, I appreciate, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that because I probably yesterday, and I was not out a whole lot yesterday, but I ran into at least three or four people who commented on the interview with the doctor, and it was all very positive. Everybody said who heard the interview that he's likable, and that in politics is a trait that you want to have. Not to say that other people are not likable, but he comes across very likable. I had never really spent a lot of time with him. I'd met him in passing before. He never was my doctor or anything like that. So yesterday was the first time I really got to sit down and talk with him. And I just felt that he came across very likable. And in this race that he's about to undertake, this political race, it's kind of interesting that I think he said yesterday he had had 8,000 patients when
I listened closely. Yes.
Yeah, when he hung up his practice a couple years ago, and 8,000 patients being a Marion doctor, I'm sure those 8,000 patients were Marion County residents. Yeah. This could extremely help him in this election.
Yeah, and both of you was very, very good, positive people. He never went out of bounds. You never went out of bounds. You never do. And the broad knowledge you have with people is excellent, Scott. I'm telling you, you got it. And you can take up airtime for 5 hours if you have to, and you don't stumble a word or nothing. That's what I like about you. But I got some other things that I'm going to get off of here because I don't want to take up your time, but it's getting close to the time, pretty soon. This time is kind of prime time for the talk shows, and then us people, they think this got time to sit around and gab. Well, we don't. We're very valuable people, retired people and stuff, and we got those little chores to do, those flowers to plant, the grass to mow, and all those other things that has to take place in the opening of spring. So,
absolutely. Anyway, well, stay dry out there.
If you don't mind, I do it all the time, and I'll have a few different things you'll hear from me until grass time, and then I'm going to have to fart for a while. I'll catch up with you here in the next couple of months until that happens. Okay, buddy?
Okay, sounds good. Take care.
Oh, you take care of yourself.
Bye-bye. All right, again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. I was talking about Waldo. Waldo, to me, Waldo seems a little easier to navigate and to get to. So, a little different to me than LaRue and Prospect. And again, no, nothing against LaRue or Prospect. It's just, if you don't know somebody there, you never seem to be going there, is what it seems like. Now, maybe I'm wrong about that. 740-383-9944. I want to get back to this here. Tuesday, February 22nd, 4:30 to 6 p.m., St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 135 West Main Street here in Marion, will be having their drive-through dinner. Menu, baked spaghetti, garlic bread, coleslaw, applesauce, cake, bottled water. Pull up to the door facing the parking lot, and the meal will be delivered to your car. Everyone is welcome. Now, it's my understanding, after listening to Nate talk about this yesterday, this comes from his neck of the woods over there in Waldo, that this is an absolutely free dinner. And apparently, you just pull up in your car, and you can say, I want 2 dinners, I want 5 dinners, I want 10 dinners, and they put them in the car, and that's pretty much it. So that's how that all goes. So that's an important thing. Waldo, not too far from here. So if you don't want to cook that night, I guess that's something you can do. Tuesday, February 22nd, 4:30 to 6 p.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 135 West Main Street. And while you're down there, you could stop and get a bologna sandwich or a Judy pie. That's what you do now at the GNR. You get a bologna sandwich or a Judy pie. 740-383-9944. Any thoughts on the flooding this morning? Any reports in Marion that any areas are flooded? Not hearing much this morning about this, so maybe everything is okay. Now, I know there's a lot of panic today, and I don't know if it's the correct panic or not because I'm not a meteorologist, but I've heard some panic in the last couple days that this water is all going to fall today, and this snow is all going to melt, and then the temperatures are going to get cold tonight, and everything's going to freeze, and there's going to be ice everywhere. I have not seen reports of this, to be honest. I guess it's possible there could be some ice tomorrow morning, but I don't know. The roads don't seem to be covered with water, and I'm sure that the salt trucks are aware that this could happen, and I don't think the temperatures are supposed to drop until much later today. You know what's interesting? Now, this is something I'm curious about. How much rain can the sewer system hold? or the gutter system, or however you want to refer to it. How much rain can it hold? Because we get flooding in certain areas of Marion City, Marion County. Now, why is that? Because obviously they're not getting any more rain or snow than we are. Now, I think a lot of people will talk about elevation. They'll say, well, they're just at a lower elevation than other areas of town. Well, I don't know if that's right or not. Because Route 95, I'm not sure what the elevation is on Route 95, but I've never seen areas of Route 95 flood. I've seen big puddles, but I've never seen it flood. And Delaware Avenue here, to my knowledge, I can't remember any flooding happening on Delaware Avenue. Now, I don't know if that's a high altitude area. Main Street, I can't ever remember Main Street or Center Street flooding. So I don't, Church Street, State Street, Prospect Street really here, I don't remember any flooding. So what's the elevation got to do with it? Because then you have areas like Fair Park, Columbia Street, the Boulevard, which is right over here. I would have to think the Boulevard is at a high elevation, because the highest elevation in Marion is over here by the towers. Matter of fact, there's a sign, or there used to be a sign over here saying that the towers, that area, is the highest elevation in Marion, you know, the Gurley Hill area. Well, the Boulevard is what, a mile? Less than a mile away from the towers? That can't be at a low elevation. So why would the Boulevard flood? So I think it has more to do with the drainage system in certain areas. Does anybody know anything about this? Has anybody ever thought about it as you have to stop and wait or find a different route because the roads are flooded? It seems like residential areas tend to flood and business areas tend not to. Now, there are exceptions to those rules, but that seems to be the way it goes. 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I've thought about it.
Well, what is the reason? I mean, the Boulevard, which does flood, that has to be a high elevation.
No, it's not a high elevation. You actually go down into a dip the farther down the boulevard you get. Then when you get down toward Delaware Avenue, you go back up.
Well, it's interesting, though, because as I was saying, you know, the towers, is the sign still up there? I haven't looked for a long time. But there used to be a sign along the towers there that said that is the highest elevation point in Marion. And a mile down the road, I'm not saying the Boulevard is of hugely high elevation, but it can't be lower than, let's say, Fair Park. It can't be lower than Main Street because it's so close to the highest point in Marion. So even if there is a dip, it's got to be somewhat high.
Well, yeah, I mean, parts of it is. Parts of it isn't. Because I remember there a few years back when we got all that rain and Main Street flooded right there, Columbia, and the Boulevard flooded, and back there behind the old Smith Clinic, that was all flooded. I know because I drove it.
Well, see, that's interesting to me, too, because Columbia is the one we all know. If we don't know anything, we know Columbia floods, we know the Boulevard floods, and we know Fair Park floods.
No, I remember when Van Buren, Jefferson, Lincoln, Sefner, I remember when all them streets flooded.
Well, yeah, there are those moments. Yeah, there are those moments where streets flood that don't typically flood. Girard is one of those. Girard does not typically flood, but it has. But the streets that always flood are Columbia. Fair Park tends to flood a lot. And I'm not sure why that is. Is Fair Park low elevation?
I don't know. I think I can find out, though. I have a compass thing on my phone, a compass app on my phone that'll give me the elevation of where I'm at.
Well, it'd be interesting to know because, you know, like I think out at Grandview. Now, Grandview They've had flooded roads, but I don't remember Grandview ever flooding like Fair Park does.
Yeah. See, the elevation, as soon as this thing clicks in, yeah, the elevation I'm at now is 40.6128516 by an 83.211901 plus or minus 57 feet.
Well, see, now here's another thing.
I'm at 932 foot above sea level.
Well, now here's another. Why does elevation matter when it comes to, I mean, is it just water rolling down a hill?
Yeah, well, that's what water does, rolls downhill.
Well, yeah, but I would think that the elevation, you know, like we talk about the boulevard, the elevation, there is a hill at the end of the boulevard where you definitely go up a little bit, but most of the boulevard, you're not going up and down hills, so I wouldn't imagine that there's a lot of water going downhill.
That's a really old sewer or storm system or sewer system, however you want to say it. That's really old. Fair Park's really old. Grandview Estates is really old. And the amount of rain that we're getting nowadays, because something's changed, I don't know what it is, but we get a lot more of everything now, and they're not big enough.
Well, you know, Fair Park, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, Fair Park really is not that old. I think it was built in the 60s. And so it's, I mean, people listening right now, that could have been built in their lifetime. Now, these houses over here on Bell Fountain, all these streets off Bell Fountain Avenue, unless these houses have burned down or been rebuilt, these houses have been here since the late 1800s, early 1900s. Like the street we're on right now, most of these houses on South Prospect Street, I lived at one just less than a mile from here, and it dated back to like 1910, I think.
Really?
Yeah. So Fair Park is fairly new, housing development wise. I mean, it's not brand new, but it's the 60s.
My grandpa worked for the guy that built Fair Park.
Oh, Scantlin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to me because I would have thought, because that was just all field before Fair Park was built. The 60s, you know, that's pretty modern times. Did anybody notice that field flooded? I'm sure they had to put a lot of storm sewers in over there.
Oh, yeah,
and
they figured they could fix it.
Well, yeah, and I wonder about that, because the whole storm sewer system over in Fair Park would have been developed in the 60s. It wouldn't have been the one that we have over here, which is a mess with basements, that was developed, you know, probably in the 1800s. So I don't, Fair Park doesn't really have basements for
no,
the most part.
All them houses sit on concrete slabs.
Right. So I don't know if the storm sewer system is better over there, or maybe there's just not enough to hold the rain that comes in, because I've never been really sure why Fair Park floods. Because Williamsport Road, which runs, you know, right along Fair Park and Fairground, there's not a lot of flooding on those roads. Fairground, every so often, we'll see some flooding. But I can't ever remember Williamsport having any kind of flooding.
No, I mean, I go up and down Williamsport all the time. I've never... It depends a lot on the composition of the soil, too. I mean, out here where I live, lots of clay. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at a lake in that field next to me. I mean, I can't even see the field. It's just all water.
Well, like where I am, out by Meyer, there's never been a flood. And 95, there's been big puddles, but I can never remember a time when 95 had to be blocked off anywhere because of flooding.
Yep. Not out that way.
Yeah. So I don't know what
the composition of the soil, because like I said, out here where I live, lots of clay in this soil, so the water stays on top of the soil for a while.
Well, does anything have to do with the storm sewer system? Because I can only imagine, if it's not already happening, because I don't know how much rain has fallen already, with the combination of the melting snow and the warmer temperature and the 2 inches of rain that are supposed to fall, that the basements over here, you know, forget the flooding, the basements over in this area, people better be looking at those if they don't go down there very often.
I listen to my sump pump. As long as my sump pump kicks off, I know my basement's not flooded.
Well, I tell you what,
my sump pump sits on the low end of my basement, so if my basement's got any water in it, then my sump pump's not going to kick off until that water's gone.
This is one of those storms where 2 inches of rain are falling, you know, right after a big snow.
I know.
Yeah, this is one of those times where if people's basements don't normally flood, that
flood.
Yeah, you're going to see it.
Yeah,
you're going to see a flood.
My backyard's full of water. The field next to me's full of water. I'm living in a fishbowl here, man.
Yeah, yeah, and a lot of people are. Now, why, do you have any thoughts on LaRue and Prospect? Why are they always a mess?
That's mostly caused by the river rising.
Well, it is, but can't they do anything? This has been a problem for...
Can they build up the sides of the river and make it deeper?
Why, couldn't they?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think they could do anything over there?
What they might do is dredge it. I mean, they might dredge it out and make it deeper.
Well, couldn't they take some end of the, I mean, it's not like Prospect and LaRue are land short. They have land. Couldn't they build some sort of a, maybe some sort of a dam structure or some sort of a, maybe a catch basin?
That would probably fall under the... That'd probably fall under the state, just like they told me out here, because I wanted to do something about the culvert that runs under 309 out here. That falls under ODOT, and I can't get nowhere with them people. So, yeah, I mean, to do anything with those rivers down there, that the state's going to have to do it. I don't think the residents of LaRue or Prospect could actually, they could petition to have it done, but I don't think they could actually do anything about it.
Well, I just always thought if I lived in LaRue or Prospect, when you get to this time of year, and sometimes even in the summer, it rains, it is just awful. The streets flood, basements flood if you have them over there. There are streets you can't navigate. I mean, it becomes a real mess in those areas.
Well, see, that's why I would never live in LaRue, and if I lived in Prospect, it would be far away from the river.
Well, you know, and it's funny because, and this is maybe why I don't visit Prospect very often, is because the housing community is all very close to the river.
I know, isn't that weird?
Yeah, I don't know why it was all built so close.
I don't know why they did that. I mean, it's like almost three quarters of the town is right there next to the river, and that, you know, that'd be okay if you like to go fishing. You just walk over there and go fishing, but...
Well, it's funny because they finally, like with many tiny little communities, build a Family Dollar or a Dollar General or whatever they are over there in Prospect. And where did they build it?
Right next to the river.
Right next to the river.
Yeah.
I thought, what a place to build it.
I used to go over there every once in a while. I'd go over there. We'd like to go over there we'd like to go to that dairy bar over there.
Well, it's funny because Prospect and LaRue have an interesting group of people who live there. And what I mean by that is...
They're dedicated.
Yes, the people who live in those communities think those are the greatest communities on the face of God's green earth.
Yep, just like in people that live in Tornado Alley. They get hit year after year after year by tornadoes, but you don't see them packing up and leaving.
But they love it. And it's, you know, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with having
loyalty
to your community. But I always wonder, is that sort of a false thing? Because, you know, if you really love your house and you really love where you work and you really love your commute and you really love your neighbors and maybe your family's in town, is it really more about the love of that part of the community and you just kind of put up with the other?
Very well could be. I don't know.
I mean, like LaRue. I mean, what?
Something to do with it, because I don't move out of this house and it floods over here all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully you stay dry. I don't know how long this rain's going to go. Do you know what time it started this morning?
No, it was raining when I got up this morning, so I have no idea.
I guess we'll see how it all shakes out here.
Of course, I was up around 4 o'clock, and I don't think it had started raining then.
So we probably haven't seen close to the 2 inches.
Holiday thing, and then it's going to turn to ice and snow.
Well, see, that's the big question today, because it's not going to be a snowstorm like we had weeks ago.
It's only like they're only calling for like an inch of snow.
Right, but is this going to ice over, I guess is the question.
Well, I hope not.
Yeah. I think it's either going to be really poor, which nothing, or it's going to be really bad.
I mean, if it's going to rain, fine. I mean, I don't mind a little drizzle. The ground's still kind of frozen, so all the water is sitting on top. That's not good for me because, you know, all the flooding. But then if it turns to snow, I don't want to see it turn to ice.
Well, like I say, the boulevard was not flooded this morning. Nothing was flooded that I passed by. So that's probably a good sign that by the time the snow and the temperatures drop, the roads probably, there's going to be some slick spots, but I don't think it's going to be a sheet of ice.
Yeah, because they can't get out and treat the roads while it's raining. I mean, it does them no good.
Right, right. So, I don't know. And I don't know what the time frame is between the rain stopping and the inch of snow starting.
Oh, I just looked at it on my weather thing on my phone. It's going to be after 3 o'clock. I know that.
So, they might have a chance to get out there in between.
Yeah. I know, Ed, I don't think it's going to turn right from rain to snow. I mean, the temperature is going to drop throughout the day. It's going to get down into the 30s. And once it gets down, what is it, down around 35, 34 degrees, that's when it can start snowing.
Yeah, I think that's right. I would guess if it's going to start, though, snowing, and it's just going to do 1 inch, and it starts at 3 o'clock, the commute tomorrow morning is not going to be bad at all.
Oh, no. I mean, as far as out here, I mean, they take really good at 309, you know, they take good care of 309. But the city, they need more plow drivers, apparently, because I drove into town, and, oh, those roads are a mess. I understand there's more traffic, and the streets are narrower and everything. I lived in Marion all my life. I know all about that, but, boy, they need, I know they take care of the main arteries, you know. Boy, they need to get some smaller pickup trucks to take care of those side streets, because that's where everybody lives, on a side street.
Well, you know, maybe it was the size of the storm. I really don't know. But I had not heard in a long, long time the number of complaints of side streets not getting plowed as I did during this last storm. It was interesting.
That interview you did with the mayor, you asked him about that, and what he said, there was 12 plow trucks?
Yeah, and he said they were constantly running for the most part.
But didn't he say, was it 12 plow trucks, and then there was some pickups, or was the pickups part of that 12 plow trucks?
You know, I don't know if the pickups were part of the 12 plow trucks. I think it's 12 plow trucks.
I would hope that was 12 plow trucks, and they had some pickups. I mean, if they could hire me, I know I can plow. They hire me and give me a pickup with a plow on it, and I'll take care of them side streets for them.
Well, you know, it was also interesting. I remember him talking about that, and it was also fascinating to me that he was talking about how there was a day of the week or a time period where they don't plow. And I think it was Saturday, if I remember, like Saturday night into Sunday.
Well, those guys, you know, I mean, they work 12-hour shifts anyway, so, you know, they got to have a day off.
Right, but I would think that if you had a storm on a Saturday night, how many storms do we have here? Not very often. Mm-hmm. That you would just really run the trucks when you needed them.
Yeah.
So the fact that there is a time period where they won't run the trucks, I think that's interesting, because how often do they run the trucks for a week nonstop? I don't even think during the last storm that happened.
No.
So, I don't know. And who drives the trucks? Because,
I think it's road workers, isn't it?
I don't know, because I think it would have to be a city employee, and certainly I don't think they would be employed just to do that.
You have to have a CDL to do it. But you don't have to have a CDL drive in pickups. You just have to know how to plow.
Well, hopefully there'll be no plowing tonight, and we'll just have a nice easy night.
Not over an inch.
Yeah.
They probably won't even mess with it. I mean, they might get out and treat the roads, keep them from icing over, but I think that'd be about it.
Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, nice conversation.
Yep, stay dry. All right, 740-383-9944. If there's anything on your mind, give me a buzz. 57 minutes past the hour here on this wet Thursday morning. Don't forget, Glenn Coble will be on this morning, 10 a.m. till 12 noon. I believe his guest is Fred Malone from the Historical Society. Presidential Facts. Fun Facts, I think, is the topic this morning. And then Swap Shop today, from 12:10 to 1 p.m. with Glenn Coble. And then the Adam the Computer Guys show, 2:10 to 3 p.m., 58 minutes past the hour. If the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Do you have just a second for lopsided logic?
I do. I have about 3 minutes.
Okay. Well, you know where it dips over there at the Harding Memorial? Where the street dips down a little bit and then goes on up?
Yes.
Okay, think about this. Every time they bury somebody over there in the cemetery and put a, you know, basket down in there, it raises the dirt up a little bit. Are you thinking?
Now that's an interesting thought. Now, do you think that's what this is all about over here?
Yes, I do.
The cemeteries are causing the problem.
Yeah.
Well,
like everybody always tells me, it's hard to argue with that.
Well, it is. You know, that's... Now, this is an interesting thing. Now, somebody told me they don't do 6 foot, though, anymore. So it's not quite the digging project that it once was.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that.
I could be wrong, and somebody might point it out to me, but I believe it was somebody who worked at a funeral home who told me that they do not go down 6 foot anymore. I don't know why that is.
I don't know.
And again, this is just curiosity. Why was it 6 foot? What was the point of that?
Well, they didn't want to make it easy to be dug back up again.
I guess so. They didn't want them getting out once they got in there.
No, not them getting out, but the grave robbers.
You know, the funniest joke I ever heard, and you know, it's always kind of different humor when you're talking about cemetery or death, was I heard a woman one time say she really didn't like her husband. I don't know. Well, here's what happened. He always would say to her that if she remarried, that he would dig his way out of the grave and come find her. So she said when she buried him face down.
Oh.
So if he started to dig his way out, if he started to dig his way out, he'd be going to China.
That's a good one, Scott.
I thought that was a good joke. I laughed at that. Some people don't find that...
One of your good old cemetery jokes.
Yeah, well, some people don't find that humor funny because it has to do with death and cemeteries, but I think that's funny.
Well, you know me. Not that I find humor in it, but things like that don't bother me. It's got to be a lot worse than that bother me.
Well, no, but, you know, final question here because we're going to hit the break is, with this, do you think it's more of an elevation thing or a sewer thing?
Well, aren't they redoing the sewers over there right now?
I think that's about a 75-year project. I really
yes,
don't
well,
know.
Well, yeah, but yeah. What have they been digging at? What have they been doing over there?
I think they have been doing the sewers, but are they detaching them from the sewage system, or are they making them bigger? I've never really understood exactly what they're doing.
Well, I don't know about... You know what exactly they're doing, but I assume that's what. And aren't they going to continue after the weather gets better again?
Yeah, and I think that'll be a big help. But why does Fair Park flood?
Oh, I don't know about out there.
And I don't think they're working over there, but I don't know. We'll just hope for no flooding today, and everybody be well and happy.
Yes.
Hey, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye bye. All right, we got to go to break here. We'll be back in 15 minutes.
Because somebody was kind. And that's a great impact.
Pat, as we end this interview, and I always hate to say goodbye, but you say you love to sing. I love your voice. Can you give us a little line of something as we part ways here?
A song?
Any song you like.